Begin the current daf, Sefer Tzvachim, Daf Tzadi Ches. Begin three lines down to the top of the Yamin. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is the Gemara introduced a teaching from Shmuel because of the pasuk that talks about a comparison of all the karbanos to each other. It says, and why did the Gemara introduce that teaching of Shmuel? That was because the Gemara had a question regarding the halacha of the previous Mishnah, which we taught that when you cook kachim, like karmachatas, with other karbanas or with chulin, that then it imparts its sanctity to those other things, which whatever halacha the chatas has, those other things are going to have. It's going to have the same limitations as the chatas. And that we know, because the pasuk says, yikdash, that liyas kamaya, which by that pasuk is on the mechatas. Said the Gemara, how do you know that halacha, that it's balua, if those blias of those absorbed tastes go into that other thing, it's going to have the same halacha as what's being absorbed from that carbon. And that's what the Gemara says, that Shmuel was teaching that each one of these words teach another thing. And as the last halacha we had learned on the top of the summit from the previous daf, which was, so why are we comparing that pasuk chatzas to all the other karbanas? To say, machatas miskadeshes bebalua, just like the karban chatzas that we know from that other pasuk, that it gives sanctity whatever it gets absorbed from it. Afkal miskadeshes bebalua, so to all other karbanas, is going to give over its sanctity, which is a unique halacha regarding karbanas, regarding kajim. Generally, the halacha is a blias of giving absorbed taste, but here they're both kosher. What does that mean that it has the blias? That's what this special gezeirus hakasef is, that it's going to give over its sanctity and its limitations being eaten in the kloyim, only for zechrikuna, liyam belailam. So to all karbanas, whatever gets mixed in is also going to give over its sanctity to that thing. Now, that the Gemara continues that teaching of Shmuel regarding the other karbanas that I mentioned there in the pasuk, what is unique about them that it's learning to the other karbanas? Asham, it says there in that pasuk regarding the asham, which is teaching, ma asham ein shvir v'shayu kaddish, but just like a karban asham, the fetus and the afterbirth of that baby is not sanctified in the karban asham because it can't have a baby, because the karban asham is a zachar, is a male. So therefore, you cannot say when you go and you sacrifice in the mizbeach, the sacrificial parts, which are the fats and the two kidneys of the ashram, that includes also the fetus that's inside its womb to include that too, because it doesn't have a baby. So I've called so to all karbanis, even those that come as females, like a karban chatzis and shlamim, and shlamim, that ain't shvir b'shayi kodesh boy, that there, even though it's possible, but we're learning it from ashram, that the fats and the two kidneys of the fetus that's in its womb is not included to be sacrificed on the mizbeach. Now, which Rashi asks, well, why did we have to learn that from the Asham? Why couldn't we have learned that from the Ayla? So that says Rashi, because an Ayla is also only a Zachar, not just Asham, but that's because Ayla is actually totally burnt on the Mizbeach. And therefore, we couldn't have said also all of the Karbanas that there the Shvir Neshalya are not going to be sanctified, because it's actually not like Ayla at all, because by Ayla, everything is burnt in the Mizbeach. Other Karbanas, we don't say all that's meat is burnt in the Mizbeach. And if it's not comparable to Ayla, so although, yeah, also Ayla is only a Zachar, but we wouldn't have been able to learn out of this halacha that the kidneys and the fats of the fetus are not going to be included in the Karban. It's only that we learn that from Asham. Now, moreover, Rashi addresses something that was mentioned from the previous part of the Gemara on from the previous daf, and that is the consumption of the kahanim that are male. Why did the Gemara, why did Shmuel have to learn it out? Why did the pasuk have to mention that we learned it out from mincha? Why couldn't we have learned that out from chatzis and asham? Which is, just like we asked previously, we said that why do you have to compare it to mincha? Why couldn't we have learned that zivchi shal metzibe from asham and chatzis? So why do we have to learn the zivchi kuhuna from mincha? And that says Rashi, because by both chatas and asham, it says, it has to be consumed by the zichri chuna, it says, kachim kachim hu. So you can't learn out from that, because it says the terminology hu, which is an exclusionary term, we would have thought it's only for chatas and asham, and not for the other halachas, not for zivchi shal metzibur. And that's why we have to learn it out from the hekesh from mincha, that just like by mincha, it's only eaten by the zichri chuna, so too for the zivchi shal metzibur. Now, continues the Gemara points out something, that Kesavar, that obviously this teaching of Shmuel holds Vladis Kadshim, the children of Karbanas, Bavayasin Hekadoshim. They become sanctified only when they come into this world. When they're born, then they're sanctified, but not in the womb of their mother. And that teaching is what's learned out over here from Asham, Because, like we're saying, redundant efsher, we're learning out something that's possible to have a fetus, meaning a female animal, like a chatas and a shlamim, mishii efsher, from the type of animal that's not possible, like an ushim, which is only from males. So, and that's where they know it from, that just like we see by ushim, the fetus is not sanctified because it doesn't have a fetus, so to all karbanas, even females. So then the question is, so then why don't we learn totally from Ashram, that just like Ashram never has a fetus and it's never sanctified, so to karbanas like Chatzis and Shlamim, that the Uber should never be sanctified and therefore not be sacrificed at all? And that says Rashi, no, you can't say that, because the Pasuk says, Rak HaDeshech HaShe'ilach, however, but the Kachim that will be for you, Shigemara says in Mecheres Avidal Mebeiz, the words Rak HaDeshech will come to include the Timurais, when one tries swapping the sanctity of the carbon, that gets sacrificed on the Mizbech. When it says HaShe'ilach, that will be for you, those are the Vladis, those are the children, that we see explicitly that is included on being burnt as a carbon. Just what we learn from Ashram is, however, that in the mother's womb, however, it's not going to be sanctified only when it's born, because like Rashi says, the words in the Pasuk that includes the Vladis are Ashayihu, that will be. Yeah, they will be for you when they're born, but in the mother's womb, that we learn from Ashram, that it's not going to have the sanctity, and therefore we don't bring their Chelev and their Shtei Kloyas on the Mizbeach like we do from the mother of the carbon. I mean, the mother, which is the carbon. Continues the Gemara, Milum, what do we learn now from the carbons that were brought by the inauguration of the Mishkan? Ma milum misreim b'sreifa, just like by the milum, whatever was left over from the karbanos that were not brought in their appropriate time, our b'sreifa were burnt, like we know neiser is burnt. But ve'im balichaim b'misreim, but there were no living animals in their leftovers. Meaning, since they were karbanos tzibur, they didn't designate an extra one just in case for liability purposes, for insurance purposes. And they also didn't lose one of them and then separate another one and then find the first one, meaning whatever was left over was they had brought a carbon. If it wasn't consumed in this appropriate time, so then it was burnt. So, but it wasn't any living animals that weren't brought that was considered from the leftovers. So of course, we learned regarding old carbonas. Meisrei and besreifa. Yeah, like we know the halacha of neiser, what's ever left over has to be burnt. But ve'im balichaim b'meisreim. But we don't say that if they're living animals, that then they get burnt. Meaning, it's possible to have nicer from living animals. How? For example, let's say an individual who has a responsibility to bring a certain carbon. Now, just in case, he separates two carbons in case something happens to one of them. Where if, let's say, one of them gets lost, he'll have the atonement with the second one. Or if, let's say, he actually brings a carbon and he loses it, and then he separates another one to take the place, and then they find the original one, and then he brings one of them, so the second one now is left over, that leftover carbon does not get burnt, like the halacha that we find by the nice of the miluim, that whatever got burnt was only when you had sacrificed, you had slaughtered a carbon, and then it wasn't consumed in its appropriate time, then you went and you burnt the leftovers, but there were no living animals. In that halacha, we don't say the halacha of neiser, that the living animal gets burnt. Shlamim, what do we learn now from shlamim? Ma shlamim mefaglin, just like the carbon shlamim, that when there's a machshava of pigul, when someone's doing the avodah by the carbon of shlamim, that it should be consumed beyond its time, that then it also, not only does it make itself pigul, meaning to make the carbon shlamim itself invalid, but the nesachim, the libations that come with the shlamim. If he has a machshava by the carbon, all the nesachim are going to become mefugalim. And the reason why we learn this out from shlamim is because the halacha of pigul is actually said in the Torah by shlamim. So just like by shlamim, it's mefagal, it makes other things pigul, meaning the libations that come with it, umespachin, and it itself becomes pigul. Of course, so to all regarding other karbanas, mefagal and umespachin, we learn out that it itself becomes pigul, and it makes other things that come with it that are secondary to it also pigul. So that's the end of that drush of in the previous daf regarding this pasuk of all these karbanas that were mentioned to compare drushes from those unique karbanas. Now, however, the Gemara brings the Masnita Tan Meshmed Rebbe Akiva, and the Brayso was taught in the Rebbe Akiva other drushes from these karbanas. When it says mincha flower offering, it's to tell you ma mincha miskadeshes bebalua, just like the flower offering. That it says, actually, the Pasuk, similarly like it says by Chatzis, which the Gemara is going to shortly address, like we brought from the previous staff, that it tells us that whatever gets absorbed from that mincha gets the sanctity of that mincha. Afkom miskadeshes bebalua, also all other karbanas that if it gets absorbed from that carbon into something else, it has the sanctity of that carbon. Now, says the Gemara, v'itzach lemichtav mincha. We had to say, like Rabbi Kiva is saying, this halacha of miskadeshes bebalua by mincha, v'itzach lemichtav chatzas, like we said in the previous stuff on the top of this amid, that you have to say that halacha by chatzas too, that it's miskadeshes bebalua, and learn that from chatzas. Why? Tiash min mincha, had we only compared it to mincha, if we only said that halacha of being miskadeshes bebalua, We would say, oh, because a mincha flour offering is very soft, so it gets absorbed from it. I would say that the halacha would not apply to it, so we have to say by chatas. We said it by the chatas, mishum dekar. We would say because since the meat is thick, so then the fat could get absorbed into the depth of the piece of meat, and therefore that's what we would say, that it gets the sanctity of the carbon that it's absorbing from. Of a mincha malod, but by a flour offering, which is not a thick thing, then we would say that it doesn't get so entrenched in it, and therefore wouldn't have that unique halacha of taking on the sanctity of the carbon that's being absorbed from. Tzricha, therefore, we have to say by both places to say this halacha, and then learn that all the other carbonas from them, that of this halacha miskadesh is bebeluam. Chatas, the way Rabbi Kiva learns it, and because the Gemara just now was addressing the halacha that it says by both of them, it says by chatas and mincha, this halacha miskadesh is bebelua. Now, on that, Rabbi Kiva had learned that from mincha, this halacha miskadesh is bebelua. So, if we're learning out already from mincha, we don't have to learn from chatas too. So, on that says, the b'raisa chatas, he says, what do we learn from chatas? Ma chatas ein ba ela menachulin, just like the karma chatas, is only, a person could only bring it from his unconsecrated animals. Ubayoim, it also has to be brought during the daytime, like it says by the Pariyim Kippurim, by the Pariyim Kippurim, Kibayoim Hazei Chapalechim, because on this day he will atone for you. So you see that it has to be brought during the daytime. Uvayod Hayimonis, it has to be with his right hand, because it says by the Karb Mechatas, Etzba Enkuhuna. The Gemara said on the Chav Dalma Beis, wherever it says Etzba Enkuhuna, it's En El Yimin, it's only with the right hand. So the Karb Mechatas, Tzrikas Adam, has to be with the actual right hand of the Kain. Avkal, so to all the other karbanas, ein ba'elam and achulin, it could only be brought from unconsecrated animals, uva yoim, and during the daytime, uva yoda yirmanas, and has to be done, the avodah with his right hand. And that is the Gemara Amechatas Menal, and how do we know that the Karmachatas has to be brought from chulin? So I'm Rav Chizda, because I'm a the Pasik says, be'yikra v'hikra v'haran is para chatas asher loy. Aaron brings the para, the bowl of the chatas, which is for him. What does it mean for him? Mishaloi, from his own money, v'loy mishal tzibur, cannot be from the public funds, and v'loy mishal meiser, cannot be from meiser produce, where although meiser sheini, one brings up to Yerushalayim and they can eat it as his own. So one would think possibly that he could bring a carbon from that. On that we learn that no, the carbon chatas has to be from chulin and not from meiser, and that we learn from chatas to all other carbonas. Now, regarding the second halacha that we said we learn that from chatas, that's by yoyim, and that is the Gemara. Why do you need to learn that from chatas behema? But by all karbanas, the pasuk already says a mikra. Mibayim tzavayse nafki. You learn it out that on the day that is commanded, that we see that karbanas have to be brought during the daytime. Says the Gemara, right? Kedinis, but that was only said incidentally when we're saying the halachas that are unique by chatas. So we're saying that we learn out those halachas, but really the halacha of daytime was not learned out from chatas, rather the halacha of chulin. But then the Gemara asks regarding the next halacha that says, B'yodah ha'yamonis has to be done with the right hand. Says the Gemara, why do you have to learn that from Chatas Behema either? Midirabba Barachana Nafka, the Amr Rabba Barachana Amr Eshlakish, it says, Kamokam Shanema Etzba Ukahuna, wherever it says in the Torah, the finger and or that of Kahuna, in Eliyamin is only with the right hand. With the Gemara's assumption right now, when it means Etzba Ukahuna, it means either Etzba or Kahuna. Now there's none of the Kabanas that we have that doesn't say the halacha of Kayin by bringing them as a carbon. So why do I need to know that then from Chatas if I know it every carbon says Kuhuna? So it's like, well, yeah, Kedinis, but that also halacha was said incidental. Really, the primary halacha we're learning out is for that it has to be brought from Chulun. Or if you want, you could say that, no, we actually learned that from Chatas Behem, because Saba Laka Reb Shimon, that we're saying like Reb Shimon, who says in the second parak, the Amar, he says, yeah, Etzba Le Bay Kuhuna. When it says the finger, which it says by Chatas, then it doesn't need to say Kuhuna to say that it has to be done with the right hand. Kuhuna by etzba. When it says kuhuna, it still requires to say the finger to be saying that it's done with the right hand. And by chatas, it says both. And therefore, yeah, the halacha being known with the right hand, we only know from chatas where it says etzba. The other halachas don't say both kuhuna and etzba. And therefore, we have to learn it from chatas behema. Continues the braisa. Asham, what do we learn out that we're comparing all the karbanas to asham? Ma asham atzmaisav mutarin, just like the carbon asham. It's permitted to make vessels, utensils, out of the bones of the carbon asham, because the carbon asham, its meat is eaten to the kahanim, and all that means to say the bones are also permitted for them. Now, although generally the meat of the carbon after the designated time of a day and a night becomes problematic because of nicer, but there's no nicer by the bones, it's only with something that's consumed, and the bones are not consumed, and therefore one can make and use it for their own personal purposes. So, afkal atzmaisa mataran, so to all other karbanas, even the karban ayla, which all of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, but that would not include the halacha of the bones, and that would be permitted to make utensils out of that. Now, that Rashi asks, well, why do you have to learn that from Ashram? If that's the halacha because of its that it's permitted to be eaten, which includes the bones are permitted to be used, and then there's no problem in Nisus, so you can make utensils out of them. So why don't we learn that from Chattas? That has the same halacha also, that unlike an Oila, just like an Ashram, it's eaten, and therefore you could learn that it's bones from that. And therefore Rashi says that actually what we learn from Ashram is not because it's eaten, but rather because it says an extra word, loyia. It says, lakoin loyia, what's that coming to say? For him it should be, meaning another inclusion to what's his, which is even the bones, and therefore we learn that uniquely from Ashram. Now, the Gemara goes back to the topic of the beginning of our perek regarding this halach of dam chatas that gets sprayed onto a garment that's an obligation of washing that garment. So Amar Ravi says as follows. Pshitli, it's obvious to me as we continue to Amid Beis that if dam chatas lamata v'dam oy lamala, the blood of the chatas on the bottom and the blood of the oy is on the top. In other words, if the blood of a chatas spills onto a garment first and then it gets sprayed on top of that stain, the blood of an oy. That toin kibbutz, obviously over there, that the garment which required to be washed, because the blood of the chatz is what's touching the garment and is getting absorbed into it, which the halacha was said regarding the blood of specifically of a carbon chatz. But Rava has the following question. What's if dam oyla lamata v'dam chatz lamal mahu? What's halacha if it's the blood of the oyla that's on the bottom that's absorbed into the garment, and the blood of the chatz is on top of it? What's the question? It says again, Mishum Negeyahu v'Negeyah. Is the halacha of washing a garment because of the blood of the chatas touching the garment? And here it's touching, because the blood of the oila is what's on the bottom, so that's getting absorbed into the fabric of the garment. When the blood of the chatas falls on it, it's also touching the garment, it just doesn't get absorbed because it's already used up all its absorption from the blood of the oila. But it's touching. Or is the halacha because of absorption, not because the blood of the chatas is just touching it. You have to wash it because it got absorbed in the fabric, and here it's not getting absorbed because it's already the blood of the oil that got absorbed. So says the Gemara, Hada Pashta, he later resolved this question and says, the ain't tutin kibbutz, in that case, no, it would not have to be washed, because washing is to launder, to get out what's absorbed in the fabric, and here the blood of the chatas has already touched it, but didn't get absorbed, and therefore there would be no requirement of washing the garment. A similar related question from Amar Rava says, Pshitli, it's obvious to me, Dama bigdei chaitis, if someone has blood on his garment, it's an interposition regarding the halachas of tefillah. If the garment became tummy, you have to immerse it in the mikvah. It has to be nothing interposing, just like a person. There's nothing that between the mikvah waters and the garment. The blood stain on the garment would be a chatzitza and would have to be cleaned out first to take it off so that it's not interposition, the chatzitza for the tefillah of the garment. But vim tavachu, if he's a butcher, where he's not particular about having blood on his garments, so then in the chaitzis, that's not going to be a chatzitza, because the halach of chatzitza, of interposition, is contingent on what a person is particular about. Because or else, he considers it a part of the garment, because it's not something that it's not supposed to be there. Yeah, blood, he always has blood, if he's a butcher. So to revav al bigdei chaitzis. Someone has something that's like a solid that melts, like certain types of fats or wax, where if he has that type of absorbed stain on his garment, of like a fatty stain, that would be a chatzitza. But if he's someone who sells these fats, he's not particular, because of course he's going to have this on his garment, and he's not particular about it. But by Rav had the following question. What's the halacha of someone that has blood and fatty stains on his garment? What's the halacha? So now that's the Gemara, what's the question? If he's a butcher, so you're right, he's not particular about the blood, but typically Mishum Revav, that because of the fatty stain, which he's not accustomed to, he doesn't have fats, and he's particular about, so that itself should be the chatzitza. V'imoich Revav, when there be someone who sells fats, well then typically Mishum Dam, then because of the blood, it should be considered chatzitza. So what's the question? Says Gemara, Loi Tzricha, no, David Havaha. We're talking about a case where someone is a butcher and he sells fats. Do we say, okay, so one of them is not particular, as we said in the Gemara, but on both, even though he's accustomed to both, but it's disgraceful to have both fatty stains and blood stains, and therefore that he would be particular about, and it would be chatzitza. Or maybe, no, even for both, since he's accustomed to both of them, he wouldn't be particular even having both of the stains in the garment, and it wouldn't be chatzitza. So the Gemara, take a little stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be in that situation. I turn to the 11th parak of Masechta Zevachim, parak Dam Chatas, which, as we spoke about, primarily was discussing the halacha of when the blood of a chatas gets sprayed on the garment, that's an obligation of washing the garment. And with that, we begin the 12th parak of Masechta Zevachim, parak Tevul Yom, which talks about primarily the halacha of the chalukah, of the division of karbanis to the kahana. So it begins the parak Tful Yom. Someone who is Tamei and he immersed himself that day, but he didn't yet have sundown. Or, for example, of let's say a Zav, which he immersed himself on the seventh day for his counting of Ziva, and he even had sundown, and now it's the next day, he's still considered Mechusi Kippurim, he's still lacking atonement because he hasn't yet finished his purification process, which is an obligation for him to bring a carbon. So these two types of characters, since they're not fit to eat a carbon, because kachim are only permitted when you have a full tahara, which certain types of tumas don't require carbonus, so that's when you have sundown. Or if you require certain carbonus, like certain tumas, like zav, so then, or like mitzayra, then you have to bring a carbon, so you're still not yet fit for kachim. So these two types of characters, since they're not fit to eat, ain't a chalkim b'kachim lechel Arab, neither can they get the portioned from the karbanos that are brought that day to eat it that evening when they'll be tar that evening. Because Mechusi Kippurim is on the eighth day now, and he's just to bring a carbon, then he's tar. And so too the Tvul Yom, by sundown, by evening time, will be able to eat the carbon, which is still the time of that carbon, which is for a day and a night. Still, he's not allowed to, he's not going to get a portion in that to be able to eat it in the evening, as Gemara will explain the reason for that. An Einin, which is someone that day his relative passed away, he's Nageya, he could touch Kachim, because it's not like the previous category, which are Tamei. It's not Tamei, but Ve'ena Makriv, but as the Gemara said in the second paragraph of Tezayin Manalv, which we learn from Gezeres HaKasab, but he cannot bring a carbon. And so to Ve'ena Chelik Le'echel Le'erv, neither does he go ahead and apportion from the carbons that are brought that day to eat it in the evening. Bali Mumen, those who have blemishes, something with his eyebrows or with his eyes, certain types of invalidation that the Torah talks about. The Bain Bali Mumen Oivrim, whether it's a temporary passing blemish, Bain Bali Mumen Kavuvim, whether it's a permanent blemish, Chalkin Va'eichlin, they do get portions of the karbanis and they do eat it, and the Gemara will explain the reason for that. Avolei Makriven, but they cannot bring the karbanis, they cannot do that Voida. Moreover, whoever is not fit to do that void in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Chelk Babasa, he does not get a portion in the meat of the Karbanos, which Gemara is going to ask. That just contradicts what we just said a second ago regarding a Baal Mum, where he does not do that void, and yet he does get a Chelk. But continues the Mishnah, and whoever doesn't get a portion of the meat of the Karbanos, in the Ba'aris, neither does he even get a portion of the hides and the skins of the animals to use that for his own purposes. Now, continues the Mishnah, Tami b'shas rikas dam, even if he's just Tame at the time when the blood was thrown, but v'tar b'shas ektech alavim, but he is tarred, even part of the sacrifice of this carbon, which is the entire night they would sacrifice the sacrificial parts, the fats. So for example, we're talking about, let's say, someone that immersed himself in the mikvah, and he gets purified by sundown, so even though at part of it he was not fit, by the time when the blood is being thrown, which is during the daytime, but at part he is fit by the sacrificing of sacrificial parts, in the chelik babasa, still he's not going to have a portion in the meat of the carbon. Shanam, like the pasuk of Yikra, says a makriv es dam hashlam v'sachelav, whoever brings near the blood of the shlam and its fats, mibnei aron, from the sons of Aaron, loitia, to him it should be the parts that get given to the cattle, which is sheikha yamin lamana, the right thigh, as a gift. And that is what we see from this pasuk, is that he has to be able to be makriv at least the dam hashlamim, which only during the daytime, since he was tamei, although he was a tful yom, but he only becomes purified by sundown, which is already the time that you can't be makriv the dam anymore to throw the blood, albeit that you could bring the chayav, then it's still not going to be enough for him to be able to get the shoykeim in lamana, to get the portion that's given to the kohen. He has to be fit to do the avodah during the daytime too, which is the time of the zrika of the dam.